the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. Shall we go to God in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this beautiful weather we've been having. Lord, we just thank you for each and everyone here. Just please be with those who are not with us, Lord. Bring them back to us. If it's with travels, keep them safe. Sickness, heal them, Lord. Just bring them back here, Lord. We just thank you for your love. And just please be with the message through song and your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Communion devotion this morning is titled More Characters. Novelists and short story writers create believable characters, heroes, villains, sidekicks, instigators, love interest, confidants, and extras. They also create worlds in which all these players live. Context and culture are essential to tell everyone's story. Good fiction writers, however, will tell you that the word character is hollow. As any author writes and develops these characters and lives with them over time, they become real. They grow into friends, even family. It may sound odd, but a relationship is cultivated over time. Authors, artists, composers, architects, landscapers, and even car restorers are all creators who develop attachments to their work. Have you ever heard someone refer to something they've created as their baby? God feels that way about us. He created each of us with individuality and flair. He created us for a purpose in this world he also created. As we spend time with him and he with us, he cultivates a deeper and more intimate relationship with us. We are much more than mere characters in some narrative he is composing. He created each of us to be in a loving relationship with him. And when that relationship was blemished by our sin, it broke his heart. That would be the climax of the story. And he loves us so much that he entered his creation right into the middle of the story and brought us the resolution. In the most dramatic scene ever recorded, he stepped in and he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And you'll find that in Isaiah 53:5. You see, it's not just the author's story, it is our story. God is the hero of our story, and we are the ones he came to save. He was pierced for our transgressions. As we share this communion meal together, we celebrate Jesus' heroic act. We take the bread and eat and remember that he sacrificed his body for us. And we drink of the cup to remember that blood that he shed for us. By his wounds, we are healed. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son here to become that perfect sacrifice, Lord. For each and every one of us has fallen short. We cannot make it to you. We cannot have that relationship with you, Lord, without that gift of your Son upon that cross. We just thank you that he did that lovingly, and that you loved us enough to do that for us, Lord. So please help us to clear our thoughts, bring them solely upon you, Lord. Remembrance of that broken body, that shed blood, all for our forgiveness, Lord. We just thank you for that love. We thank you for that grace. In God's name we pray. Amen.
Morning, folks. Please take an opportunity to look over the bulletin. Just a few things I want to call to your attention. Wednesday night, this Wednesday, we're having our homemade ice cream time. Some of the ice cream might not be homemade, but most of it will. So come enjoy the time of fellowship together with homemade ice cream, and then our summer intern, Adam Zybert, is going to have our devotion for us. So Wednesday night, if you could, at 7 o'clock. If you notice, we're thinking of doing the Living Christmas Tree this year. It'd be the first time in, this would be 3 years. So, but in order to do it, there's a lot of work that needs done. Our greenery is gone. We need to get new greenery. We've had squirrels and mice that got into it and caused problems. We got to put new greenery up. We have to put new lights up. So it's going to be a real job just getting the tree up. And then after that, of course, we need the singers also. So we need to see if we have enough people who are willing to help both sing in the tree and get the tree ready, because it's going to be a lot of work. We need a number of people. We certainly need a number of young voices in the tree as well as other voices, but we need people to sign up to sing. So if you're willing to help, we need to know within the next couple of weeks, because it'll take us weeks to get the greenery and the lights. So we need to know if we have enough people who are willing to help us to be able to do the Christmas tree this year. So look at the list on the bulletin board. There are a bunch of them there for that. And if you're able to help, please sign one of those lists and help us in that way. Please look over the other announcements. August 13th is the back to school bash, and Ryan needs some help there taking some pamphlets out and passing the pamphlets out about the church youth group and church at that time up at the school. On the back, you'll notice about our Wednesday nights. We have Thomas Shelton coming on the 17th, so mark that aside also. We have a number of neat things planned for Wednesday nights in the summertime. We do have a few cards I'd like to read to you. This is we would like to thank everyone for coming out Wednesday and for the generosity you showed us with the love offering. We hope to share more music with you soon. Awake the Dawn. So that was great. They did a super job on Wednesday. If you talk to me and I can't hear you, there's a reason for that, they did a super job. Really enjoyed having them with us Wednesday night. We also have one, just can't say enough, thanks to all who prayed for us and brought food and all the cards, a Christian Love, Bob and Judy. And then we still need prayers, and they do keep prayers that Judy will continue to gain strength and do better, and that Bob is looking to have surgery here sometime in the future. So keep that in your prayers. We have a number of people in the congregation who have COVID, so please keep those folks in your prayers if you would. Everyone right now seems to be doing fairly well. Albert Kincaid is home in hospice care and in a lot of pain. A lot of problems. So keep Albert in your prayers. Even with the medicine, he's receiving a lot of pain. Tony Holzer, his lymphoma has come back. I think it was 17 years ago he had the first treatment. It's come back. They're looking what type of treatment to do, but before he has that done, he also needs to get a resection because of an abscessed area in the bowel. So please keep Tony in your prayers as those things are taken care of. And Mary and Bob Boyles and Shauna Lewis and family, upon the passing of Betts Lewis. The funeral will be 11 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, and calling hours from 5 to 7 at Royal Inslee Funeral Home here in town. Let's take a moment and go to God in prayer, silent prayer. Amen. Well, today's my final sermon in our series, The Ways of God. And some of you are probably saying, wow, it's about time. You've been on that forever. But in one way, I hate to end the series because we've really just touched the tip of the iceberg as far as God's ways. I mean, we've talked about the fact that his ways are not always. He doesn't always work the way we think that maybe he ought to work. We've talked about his holiness and his power and his justice and his faithfulness and his love. But we could go on and talk about the fact that he is sovereign, that he is gracious, that he is merciful, that he is good. We could talk about his omnipresence, that he is everywhere at once. We could talk about his omniscience, that he knows everything. Before we even say it, as we think it in our hearts, God knows it. So there's a lot more we could talk about, but we're going to end the sermon series today with the sermon, Walk in His Ways. Now, when I first thought about this last sermon in the series, I thought, well, the Bible tells us that we need to be godly, that we basically need to follow the example of Jesus. And I thought what I'd do is talk about the characteristics of God that we looked at, his holiness, his love, his justice, and talk about how we could incorporate those in our daily lives. But then I changed my mind. I think we're going to go a little different direction. So I want to begin by reading Psalm 25 here. Psalm 25, verse 4 through 9, actually. Show me your ways. That's what we want to know, the Lord's ways. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Teach me. For you are my Savior, my God. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my, notice, rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Now, I like this psalm. This psalm is good news. And the psalmist says, you know, in my younger days, I had some rebellious times. I went down the wrong path. I didn't always go the way that I should go. But now he's saying, God, guide me in your paths. Guide me in your ways. And the psalmist gives us good news, and he says, if we are humble, God will guide us in his ways. Now, if we're arrogant, if we're proud, if we think the path we're going is always the right path, even if it's not the path God would have us to go, then God's going to have a hard time guiding us in his ways. But if we are humble, God will show us the way to go. Now, the sermon this morning is a simple sermon. We're going to look at basically four principles in God's word that teach us how to follow his ways, how to walk in his ways. And the first principle is this: admit that human ways lead to no good. We have to admit that. We'll never get very far learning the ways of God if we don't start right here and admit that the ways of man, that the path that people take, not always the good path. Now, in my first sermon in this series, he talked about the fact that God's ways are not our ways. And that's not only the fact that God's ways are different than our ways, but God's way is better than our ways. And the Bible makes this very clear, and the Bible also makes very clear what God thinks about the ways of man. And the Bible says there, you know, there are some people who are very confident that they can walk their way and still be going the right way. And that's simply not true. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned. Notice what it says. Each one has turned to his own way. It's not easy to follow God's ways. It's easy to go our ways. And here's the thing. We not only want to go our ways. We live in a time and age where people say, any way you go is okay. And if you try to tell me there's a way I ought to go, you should not do that. Josh McDowell says years ago he used to go to college campuses and teach. And whatever topic he taught on, like the resurrection of Jesus, the college students would say, well, you don't expect us just to believe that. If you want us to believe that Jesus resurrected from the dead, you're going to have to prove it to us. And Josh McDowell said then we'd have conversation. But he said, nowadays you go and you say, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And they say, you can't say that. You can't tell us that. That might be true for you, but that doesn't mean it's true for me. You can't tell us things like that. You can go your path. We can go our path. Any way we decide to go, that's okay. There's no such thing as truth. That somebody's way is better than somebody else's way. And we see that when it comes to religion. There are so many people who say, you know, any way to God is fine. There are a lot of different roads that take you to God. And of course, as we study the scripture, we find that's just not true. And God, as he has people write the scripture, is not concerned about political correctness. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but notice what it says. In the end, it leads to death. The Bible says over and over and over again, it takes more than sincerity, than just thinking you're on the right road to get to heaven. Ephesians 2:1-2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. The truth is, folks, some ways are not as good as other ways. Do you remember the word that Jesus used more often than any other word to describe people who were outside of God, who do not know God? The word he used more than any other word was the word lost. Now, these people might not have felt they were lost. They certainly might not have appreciated being called lost, but that's the word that Jesus used over and over and over again. And what that tells us is we better re-examine our guidance system. to make sure we're on the right way. Number of years ago, there were 75 convicts in Mexico that decided to dig a tunnel and escape from jail. In November 1975, they started digging the tunnel. In just 6 months, they came to the end of the tunnel, and they dug their way to the top. And when they came out in a courtroom. Many of the 75 were the same judge that they found in the courtroom was the one who sentenced them originally, and now they all get sent back to jail, and they have more time. So the point of the story is this: the ways of man don't lead to freedom. They promise freedom, but the ways of man lead to judgment. Psalm 1:6 says, "For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So we need to start right here. The first principle is we need to admit that the ways of man lead to no good. The Bible says in Psalm 128:1, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways." That brings us to the second point. We've got to commit to walking with God. You say, "Oh, I've already done that years ago when I accepted Christ and I had faith and I repented, I was baptized." Well, good. And back then, you know, I started attending service, I started reading my Bible, I started praying. And that's good, but let me ask you something. Have you ever started out going the right way and you ended up in the wrong place? A number of years ago, a man by the name of James Rich bought himself a little jet plane. Obviously, the guy had some money. And he was somewhat of a mechanic, so he bought the plane, he worked on it himself, he spent some $70,000 in repairing the little jet plane, but he was proud of it. He lived in Kentucky, and he had some friends in Tennessee, and as he's finishing the plane up, just giving it the finishing touches, he decided he was going to fly the plane to Tennessee to show his friends that evening. But he had worked on the plane all weekend, and he was dead tired, so when he got the plane in the air, he put it on autopilot. He thought he'd go to sleep for a little bit. Well, when he awoke, he was over a body of water. He thought it was a lake. It wasn't a lake, it was the Gulf Coast. He had fallen asleep for 3 hours. He was 170 miles out in the Gulf Coast. He turned the plane around, headed back to the coast, but 70 miles before he reached land, his plane crashed. He lived, he parachuted out, and a dime store pillow that floated kind of saved him until somebody came and rescued him. What happened to James Rich? You see, he was going the right way, but he made the same mistake that a lot of us make, and that is we put ourselves on autopilot. One of Satan's, I think, greatest strategies is to convince us we are going down the right road, and he gets us to put ourselves on autopilot, and we start drifting off, and we don't even know it. We get in the routine, you see, of doing the same things. Now, this can be true in family life, it can be true in work life, it's certainly true in church life. And sooner or later, this routine becomes a rut, and our life is simply on autopilot. And therefore, we pass by new opportunities for growth. We pass by opportunities for service, and we pass by opportunities for fellowship because we're on autopilot and we think we're doing fine. Now, there is only one way I know to keep our life on course, and that is every single day we need to recommit ourselves to walking in God's way. Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, and I will fear your name." See, that's one of the problems we have. We have a divided heart. And if we're going to walk in God's ways, we need to get our heart focused on God and going the way he would have us to go. I bet this has happened to you. It's happened to most of us that sometime in your life something happened. Maybe it was a victory. Maybe it was a tragedy. But whatever event took place, you can look back and say, that caused me to make a change. I was drifting, I was heading down the wrong road, and this happened, I got back on the right road. And that happened to a number of people in the Bible. And one of the very first men mentioned in the Bible is a man by the name of Enoch. And a change in his life took place at the birth of a son. Now we read about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. In chapter 5 we have a list of these sons of Adam, and it takes us all the way to Noah. And that's where we find Enoch. And in Genesis chapter 5, beginning of verse 21, it says, When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Who is Methuselah? The oldest man who ever lived. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Although altogether Enoch lived 365 years. Remember, it said he walked with God 300 years. Enoch walked with God, then was no more because God took him away. Now, the times that Enoch lived were very difficult times. They were very evil and wicked times. Because of these times, God is going to destroy the world with a flood because of the way that people were living. But something happened in Enoch's life. This little boy was born. And when that little boy was born, this event changed him. He said, you know what? I got to go a different direction. I got to live the way God would have me to live. I got to lead my family down the right road. And somehow, the birth of Methuselah got him off of autopilot and got him walking with God again. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, it simply means that we go his way. Most of the time, that's going to mean we're not walking with the crowd. Most of the time, that's going to mean we're walking actually against the crowd. That we're not walking on the broad road, we're walking on the narrow road. And to do that, folks, we can't be on autopilot. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, I think, is Micah 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, notice, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, you might be thinking, boy, well, these verses, I need a guidance counselor. I need some help to do this. Well, that's principle number 3. Permit Jesus to show you a different way. You know, the message of Jesus was always the same. Follow me. He had to reorient his disciples in their thinking to get them going in the right direction. So he says things like, you've heard it said, if someone hits you in the cheek, it's okay to hit them back. But I'm going to tell you a different way. Turn that cheek and pray for your enemies. You've always heard that your life consists in the abundance of your possessions. But I'm going to show you a different way. I'm going to tell you it's more actually blessed to give than it is to receive. And over and over and over again in the Gospels, Jesus is saying, you know the way you've always been told that's a good way to go? That's not a good way to go. I'm going to teach you a different way. Follow me. Have you ever noticed how pigeons walk? We have a pigeon nest around our house. And I've seen pigeons walking recently. And pigeons take a step and then they bob their head back and forth. You ever notice that? Stop and take a head and they bob their head. Do you know why they do that? Well, I looked it up because I didn't know. It's not just because they're stupid. You know, that's what you think. Yeah, pigeons are just dumb. Yeah. But that's not it. The reason the pigeons walk like that is because they can't focus while they walk. So they stop and focus, and then take the next step. And they move their heads like that. Now, that might not be a good way to walk, but it's a great way to live. To take a step and then to refocus. Is this the way God would have me to go? Am I going the right direction? Am I following the path? To stop and ask yourself, what would Jesus do? To stop and ask ourselves, is this the way that Jesus wants me to go? Because you see, Jesus knows the right way. Now, not only does he know the right way, the fact is he is the right way. He doesn't just to show us how God wants us to live, he shows us how to get to God. Jesus wasn't politically correct, and he boldly said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. People today don't like that. You can't say that. That's exactly what Jesus said. Now, I've already told you this morning, I have a problem with people who say that any way to God is as good as another way. Any faith is as good as any faith. Now, here's my problem. If that's the fact that all roads lead to God, then why was the cross necessary? You see, if every way takes you to God, why did God have to sacrifice his one and only son? The fact is, there's a big gulf between us and God, and that gulf, we might call it the valley of sin, and it's only the cross that can take us across that gulf and take us to God. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 says, "Brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body," Jesus is that new and living way, "since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of the faith." Folks, God, Jesus doesn't just show us the way to God, he is the way to God. He's the one we must follow. Now, how do I do that? Well, that takes me to the last principle. We must submit to the way of the cross. Now, how do we do that? What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, I mean we've got to submit to the cross in order to stand before God. I can't come before God on my own merits. I can't come before God because of my own righteousness. I must be covered with the blood of God. I must accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior to stand before God. But after we do that, after we become Christians, we need to remember that the way of the cross is not just how we come to God, but the way of the cross is how we walk like God. Jesus made it clear what I need to do if I want to walk in his ways. Mark 8:34, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The ways of God are not selfish, but selfless. The ways of God are not boastful, but humble. The ways of God are not self-protecting, but self-sacrificing. So the question this morning is that your way? 1 Peter 2:21 says, "Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Charles Schulz was a great cartoonist, but he was also a pretty good theologian. And in one of his cartoons, Lucy has a Sunday school scripture that she has supposed to memorize and quote in Sunday school, but she has forgotten the passage. She doesn't remember the scripture. And Charlie Brown says, "Well, what book of the Bible is it in?" And Lucy says, I'm not sure. I think it's the book of reevaluation. Well, of course, there's no book named reevaluation. But I think that's how we're supposed to read the Bible. We read it and we reevaluate our life. Am I going down the right path? Am I going down God's way? Or am I ignoring him and simply doing what I want to do? You know, for years, on Saturday afternoon, there was a program, Saturday afternoons, there was a program called Why World of Sports. And it always started, do you remember? It always started with the same clip. There's this guy coming down the ski jump. And as he gets down there, you hear the voice of Jim McKay utter those famous words, "The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat." And as this guy comes down the ski jump, he falls and he turns over about 10 times. It looks horrible. So for years, when you thought about the agony of defeat, you thought about that skier falling off the jump. But did you know that he purposely fell? You see, he purposed. Why? Because for some reason, he was delayed getting on the ice and the ski jump. And it got icy. And when he started down, he realized he was going too fast. And if he continued at that speed and he went off the jump, he was going to go past where he was supposed to go. Good chance he would be killed and he might hurt other people. So very quickly, he made the decision, "I can't go that way." And he purposely fell to save his life and to save the life of others. It was embarrassing, but it was the right thing to do. And that's what God, you know, says to you and me. Take a hard look at the road you're on. Maybe you have to get off. Might not be an easy thing to do. There might be some people who look at you and say, "Why'd you do that?" But if you're on the wrong road, it's time to get off. And the Bible calls that repentance. The Bible says that's turning from going our way to go the way he would have us to go. So the question I think each of us need to ask ourselves this morning is, am I on the right road? Am I following the right path? Am I going God's way? Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God." And this is a prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me." And then notice this, "and lead me in the way everlasting." If you're here this morning as a Christian, you need to make sure that you're on the right path, that you're on the way everlasting, that you haven't veered off. put yourself on autopilot and now go in the wrong direction. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to get on the way everlasting. And the Bible says we do that through faith that leads us to confess Christ, repent of our sins, and then we are baptized into him to be born again. If you're here this morning and you need to make a decision for Christ, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. And as we stand and sing, if you come forward, we can take your confession today and baptize you into Christ Jesus. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.